This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yerkew and Peter Scoop Stanton. This is the radio show that will break your neck if your neck needs breaking. And here are the hosts of 7-5 Radio, Walter Yerkew, star of the biggest documentary movie ever made, The 7-5, and Peter Scoop Stanton, who starred in To Catch a Predator.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, one and all. This is Peter Scoop Stanton with Walter Yerkew on 7-5 Radio. Check us out at 75radio.org. We are live tonight. It is Saturday, September 11th, 2021. It is 20 years to the day of the attack on America in Lower Manhattan, Arlington County, Virginia, and Shanksville, Pennsylvania. Also, it is 9 years to the day of the attack in Benghazi, Libya. Well, how are we doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty good, my friend. I'm doing pretty good. A lot better today than I was a few days ago, but that's another story for another day.
We'll talk about that later. Also, on the horn at 4 a.m. Central European time, is our good friend Larry Ray Harden, who's calling us from Rota, Spain. Larry, how are we doing tonight?
Hey, Scoop. Hi. Good morning here in Spain, in Rota, Spain, to you, Walter. Good morning.
All right. Well, good evening, Larry. Anyways, real quick, 10 seconds or less, what's your thoughts on September the 11th, 2001?
September 11th, never forget it. For me, Scoop, yep. I never forget it. For me to wake up and with my wife, I was out all night on surveillance, working a narcotic case, and my wife came in. She said, "You need to take a look at this." And I looked at it, and I seen the plane, and then seen the. I mean, I knew then we were at war with somebody.
Wow. Well, what's your thoughts on September the 11th?
Man, it's something that is not. You know, we don't think of it every day. But when we do remember it, we know remember exactly where we are and who we lost. We lost a lot of heroes. Mm. A lot of heroes.
Yeah.
Both civilian and MOS and FD. They were all heroes.
Right. Right. 300 firefighters alone from the fire department of the city of New York. Anyways, moving right along, we only have a short amount of time. Tonight, we're still talking about refugees. I'm here at the Backyard Grill in Chantilly, Virginia, for something I call the Refugee Roundup, because these refugees are flooding our shores in Northern Virginia. They're going to the hospital, clogging up the emergency rooms, and now they can't lose them. They can't find them. Some of them have gone missing. So I've done a thing called Refugee Roundup with a group of patriots, which remain nameless. Also came up with a new acronym. You heard of MAGA, M-A-G-A. Well, I came up with MARA. Make Afghan Refugees Accounted For. But anyways, reason we have Larry Ray Harden on tonight is because he has a story nobody, and I mean nobody, is talking about in Rota, Spain. Larry, take it away. What's going on in Rota, Spain?
I tell you what, something started to happen right away, and I was called into the office. I'm here at the working very closely with the military on the educational process, but presenting the opportunities to go into maybe law enforcement. But the supervisor told me, said, "Look, there's a lot of people on base. Keep a low profile. Be quiet. Don't say anything." Well, then that's not me. I am retired from DEA. Everybody knows I'm on base now. I mean, it's just the way it is. And I just started walking around, and I noticed part of the base was shut down. In other words, it was closed. There was a fence that was put up. You couldn't go in. There was guards, military uniform, but I'm not sure who they are. I know it's a U.S. joint with Spain base there. But, I started feeling like something is happened here. And I have a couple friends of mine that are at the airport. When I'm speaking about the airport, I'm talking about the airport that's on base.
Right.
These were the military planes flying in. And one of them told me, he called me, he said, "You won't believe this." But everything is really quiet. You can feel the uneasy that's on base. None of the military people would not say a word. You can't mention the word about our well, if you want to call him our president, which he is. People in Spain, they talked to me, for example, today about him. But you cannot mention him, or you cannot mention anything about the people coming out of Afghanistan. You know, and so I went over to the chaplain's office. Chaplain is on the military base. It's a church with chaplains that are ministers in the military, and the donations were incredible. And I told one of the ladies, I said, "Do you mind if I take a picture of all this? It's donations for the families that were coming into at the naval base here." And she looked at me.
Larry,
she said,
Larry,
"No photos."
Larry, not to interrupt. So you're saying we have Afghan refugees coming to Naval Station Rota?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, absolutely. And it's you know, and these are not rumors. You know, there's one, as you just mentioned, when I heard you just talk about how they're disappearing. Well, there's been several here already trying to get off base. There was one that was stopped at it's an entry gate into the base. Well, apparently there was a female, an Afghanistan female, trying to get off of the base. And but I thought it was so strange that how can she get past the armed guard in a secure fence area? But let me tell you something, both of you, Scoop and Walter, this is extremely very, very quiet. There's not anything been moved. When I say moved, about any kind of action or anything that's been said, I think the military that's here, they have to really keep their mouth shut, because there's so many people walking around on this base, on the military base, that are not in uniform. Okay. You know, there are some contractors like me, but overall, there are a lot of people, which I think they're definitely State Department. State Department is running this thing very, very close.
Larry, okay, Larry, let's back up. I got a couple of questions, because
absolutely.
I was stationed over there, and my radio career was started at that base.
Mm-hmm.
How many refugees are over there right now in Rota?
Nobody knows. I think, well, there was a plane that came in. I believe it was like 400 came in. I tell you what, Scoop, if you know this base very well, and you know how the operation runs, the buses that will go to the airport, I'm talking about the airport again, here at the airport, which is in Rota, Spain. I'm not talking about commercial. These are military.
It's military airlift command, just charter planes and C-17, C-5s.
Exactly.
Whatever else is coming and going.
Exactly. Well, the bus windows are covered. They push them on the buses, more or less. They keep everything so quiet and so secretive, and they take them right to a location where everything is fenced off. That's covered up with some kind of material, because you just can't get near. You just can't get near, and don't take pictures. Yeah.
Right. Larry, here's another question. Sorry to interrupt, because, I was on that base. But anyways, when we're coming back, we'll have more of Larry Ray Harden calling from Rota, Spain. We have refugees on Rota and Rota, Spain Naval Station. We're going to have some questions when we come back with Larry Ray Harden. Stay tuned, everybody. We're just getting warmed up.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
You're back, and Scoop is just getting back from posting insults on Twitter. This is still 7-5 Radio.
We are back. We are live. It is September 11th, 2021. We are on the phone with Larry Ray Harden, who's calling us at 0400 in the morning from Rota, Spain, and he just gave us a bombshell. We have Afghan refugees at Naval Station Rota, Spain. Larry, how is it that the U.S. is bringing Afghan refugees to Naval Station Rota, Spain, when in fact that base is a Spanish base, and we have what's called a status of forces agreement between the U.S. and the Kingdom of Spain? How is it that they're able to bring hundreds, if not thousands, of people coming in and put them in housing, makeshift housing and whatnot? How is that happening with the under the king's nose?
I tell you what, it's happening because, first, let me tell you, guys, Scoop and Walter, this is at 4 o'clock in the morning, you got me fired up already. You really have. And that's tough, man. I mean, you got me going from 0 to 10 and asking these kind of questions. And I tell you what, I am disappointed. I'm really upset what's happened here. But when you mentioned about the Spain, it's to me personally, it's all about money. It's all about something they're giving to Spain, giving to the politicians here. Because Spain is a socialist country, okay? And they're going through some really bad problems here also. But I tell you what, it's got to be something agreement between giving something, that's how the Americans work at here, giving something to Spain so they can bring them on base. Spain is not going to tell the United States you cannot bring them on base, okay? You cannot fly them in. The United States is going to do what they want to do. And they did it. They brought them right into Rota. I'm not sure about this, but there's a place up north here. It's called Marone Air Force Base. It's out of South right. Sevilla. And, but all this was so, it was just, when it went down and then bring them into Spain or bring them onto the base here, you know that Spain is not going to stop the United States doing this. The United States was so determined to bring them, to fly them here to Rota, because most countries over here in Europe, they don't want them. And it's sad. It is truly sad. That there's some people here, when I say some people that are in Afghanistan, that needs help for what the lives they've given to help us to win this war, to win this battle in Afghanistan. And but now this administration abandoned them, and they have nowhere to go. There is a mixture of a bunch of people in there, Scoop. It truly is. There are some young men and young women, too, that somehow are mixed in, and they're coming back to the United States. And no one's really vetting. No one's really screening these people because they have no ID. just like the 2 million people, Scoop, that came across the southern borders of Arizona, Texas.
Right. Okay. Larry, what else can you tell us what's going on in Rota?
I tell you, what I've learned so much in Rota, it's just that, yeah, I can, based on my background experience, I know how to get in there and get information, but it's, but when I see other agencies that are here, the other agencies within our government, they're not military, they're agencies. U.S. Embassy from Madrid, they're all over the base, the State Department. In other words, they're walking around so closely, they don't want to hear. They're sort of like eavesdropping. You know, they don't want to hear anything that's been mentioned to the news media. Well, of course, now it's out in the news because they're transferring. They're moving the people quickly out of Rota, and they're going back into the United States. They're not going into Europe, okay? No matter what Europe says, how many they take, majority of them are going to the United States. Right. And once they get to the United States, they disappear.
Right, Larry, they're coming right to my backyard. I'm at the back, literally at the backyard grill in Chantilly, Virginia, for the refugee roundup right down the street at the Dulles Expo Center. And then today I went to a former Dick's Sporting Goods store, and they're doing the same thing. They got the fencing up, everything's locked off. They got local police and security, and they're coming here. And then you're like this, Larry. We have a measles outbreak among these Afghan refugees.
Right.
Wow. And we're missing some of these people in the hospitals. And now they're resettling right here in Northern Virginia, and they're going to the schools. And these people have no job skills. They have not, they contribute nothing. And the federal government is setting them up with a home and a place to live and food and schooling. Right. But anyways, I digress. Right. So we got people over there from the State Department. Any intelligence assets over there?
Oh yes, oh yeah. But it's not the American intelligence. They're average people like you and I. These are intelligence. They're more spying on Americans, making sure. When I say spying on Americans, make sure the Americans here do not get involved. Do not ask questions. Let the State Department run this thing. Don't be going around the base if they see you take photos. If they catch me, if they see me taking photos of that fence area, or the I just want to take photos of the donations, because there's a lot of good people here, Americans that are living on base, and they really see this happen. You know, the Red Cross has done an outstanding, awesome job here. A Red Cross, a USO, it's just incredible what they're doing to help something that was caused by this administration. You know. This is a disaster for the United States, for us, for you and I, for all of us, how the most powerful country in the world, the United States of America, is doing something like what they're doing. You've been here. We have incredible technology. We can win this war, it's over with. But for what they've done, you know, even some of the military that I discreetly talked to, you know, about what's going on, because they know I'm DEA. And they know this is wrong. They see that it's wrong. But what can you do when you've got an administrator, when you've got a president of the United States, made that well, he's not making the decision. We all know that.
Right. All right. Larry, so we're going to play Interrupt Larry tonight. You're a retired DEA. Now, you're just, i.e., just Joe Civilian. Now, how are they treating you over there? They think you're still on the job, as they say?
Oh, yes. Oh yeah. I had a little DEA lapel pin and things like that. Cause you know, I just want to let people know, cause I'm trying to get them into a classroom where I can teach them and show them to be a person that wants to go into law enforcement today. It's not what it is just a few years ago. And a lot of these young men and women definitely want to get into law enforcement, get a degree in criminal justice. And so I'm trying to get hold of them and tell them. But when I wear that lapel pin or something that shows DEA, I get those people from, if you want to call them for that other agencies that we have, they look at me, wonder, they're thinking, why is DEA here on base? You know, why is a narcotic agent still here? And so I had to really quickly take that. Anything that shows I'm DEA, I took it off. And because I just don't want that, those eyes are on me. And
right.
Because, you know. Exactly.
So why would intelligence assets care if DEA is on the base? I mean, because I know for a fact some of the port cities down the road have lots of narcotics being shipped into Europe from Africa.
Absolutely.
But right. But anyways, Walt, you've been quiet so far. I apologize for being a air hog. Do you have any questions for a guest?
You know, just absorbing all this because I'm not familiar with what Larry's doing over there in Spain, and I'm just absorbing all the information that he's offering. You know, I had no idea that these Afghans are being transported into Spain. And, you know, I know they get cut, they're coming here, but, you know, how does Spain handle it? You know, like you said, it has to get it under the king's nose. I mean, do they provide all the porta potties and all the porta showers and the linens and, you know?
Absolutely.
I mean, who the hell is paying for all this? Is
you,
it Spain
Walter.
Itself?
No, it, Walter, it, you, it, are. It, you are. You are. You are. The taxpayers are paying for this.
That's what I freaking figured.
Yeah. Oh, no, I guarantee it. Listen, we're not the only. All the bases in Europe, even in Germany, the air bases up there, Air Force bases, you know, I mean, everything has been saturated right now. And if they're not going to stay here. Europe does not want them here. But they have a culture. You know, God made us all. We're all created by God. But they have a culture. The culture is not what we call the American values or and so on. And for those cultures, you have to take those young kids and, you know, they become Americans. But it's happened right here. But, Walter,
Larry,
it's all about money. It's all about money.
Stay tuned, everybody. More Larry Ray Harden.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
In a video posted on Twitter, President Biden is reflecting on the 20th anniversary of 9/11.
Unity doesn't mean we have to believe the same thing. We must have a fundamental respect and faith in each other and in this nation. We are unique in the history of the world because we're the only nation based on an idea that everyone is created equal.
President Biden and former Presidents Obama and Clinton attended the ceremony at the National 9/11 Monument in New York City. President Biden also visited the Flight 93 Memorial near Shanksville, Pennsylvania. Vice President Harris spoke there.
If we remain united in purpose, we will be prepared for whatever comes next.
Former President Trump spoke in New York at a firehouse and a police station. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn, and I'm in the best shape of my life. I love working out hard every day, but I turned 60 this year, and working out can cause some serious aches and pains. I was commiserating with my buddy Jay Schrader, the Super Bowl champion and former Raiders quarterback, about the challenges of staying in great shape for anyone over age 50. Jay said I had to try SonsOfLibertyCBD.com, and it would heal my body, mind, and soul. He was right. No more aches and pains. I feel like $1 million. Finding quality CBD, not easy, but Sons of Liberty CBD, highest quality CBD I've ever seen. CBD is not pot. It won't get you high. It's 100% legal. It's 100% American made. CBD is mainstream and it works. For my listeners, SonsOfLibertyCBD.com is offering a discount of 15% off every product if you use the code WAR15 at checkout. Even better, you can combine this discount with your subscription discount for 25% off. Please support veteran-owned, service-disabled, small business, Sons of Liberty, CBD.com. Just say WAR15 to get 25% off.
White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki was asked, how long will it take to enforce President Biden's new vaccine mandate?
I don't have an estimation for you today, but there's clearly an urgency here, and we want to ensure that rulemaking proceeds rapidly, as quickly as possible. I'll also note, though, that there are a number of companies that have already put requirements in place.
At a middle school in Washington, D.C., President Biden said some Republican governors are being very cavalier about the pandemic. He said he hopes school children are not learning from them.
Politics doesn't have to be this way.
Florida Republican Governor Ron DeSantis, who has banned mask mandates by local schools in his state, denounced Biden's orders, claiming the federal government is meddling in state affairs.
We were promised this would be 15 days to slow the spread. And where are we at right now? This is a much different thing.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Wow, you're still listening? Here's more 7-5 Radio.
And we are back. It is September 11th, 2021, the 20th anniversary of the attacks on America, the 9th anniversary on attack at our CIA outpost in Benghazi, Libya. Also on the phone, we have Larry Ray Harden, who's called from Rota, Spain at 4:33 in the morning. Larry, real quick, what else can you tell us about Rota, Spain before we move on to our next subject?
Well, Scoop, you just mentioned Benghazi. I was here when Benghazi went down, and at military base here in Rota, I've seen the young Marines, everybody putting their gear on and special ops coming in. We knew something just happened somewhere in this area over here, and later on we found out with Benghazi. A few years later, I met two individuals that came into Rota, and they knew the people that were in Benghazi, and it's so sad what happened then. But what's going to happen in our future? I mean, if we don't put a stop to this madness that's going on back home with this administration and so on, I mean, we're in some serious trouble. We truly are. The culture that we're bringing in, just like the immigration borders, we're bringing in people that don't want to be Americans. We're bringing in people that don't give a son of a gun about our culture, you know? I mean, but anyway, it's just... Just so early in the morning for me, and you got me so fired up, I won't be able to go back to bed and sleep now, because it's something that's been really troubling me in my heart to see what our country is doing. Not the American people, but a certain group of people that's controlling this. Walter just mentioned it, and I just explained that it's all about the money. That's same with drugs, narcotics. It's not the dope. Dopers don't want dope, okay, that's trafficking the dope. They want the money. You asked a question? Yes, their DEA works all over the Europe over here. But why is DEA having to be on the base at this time when they're bringing in all the refugees? Okay? They want to know. I mean, they want to know who's on base. When I say they, I'm talking about State Department. Okay? They're controlling everything that's here. They're watching everything and they're listening. So that's the question that that you asked about DEA. Why is a DEA agent here on base? And I realize the best thing I can do is get my DEA lapel pin, the little whatever, off of me or anything that shows I'm DEA, because I'm trying to advertise myself to bring in students, military students into the classroom and educate them about why our cops, our law enforcement, whether it's New York or whether it's in California, as we're speaking now, they're getting spit on, they're getting hit, they're getting knocked down, and some are getting killed. And I want to get hold of these young men and women, let them know.
Wow. All right. Larry, one of the things I wanted to do when you're first apparent was talk about the non-war on drugs, and you mentioned narco-terrorism. Could you explain what you mean by narco-terrorism and the non-war on drugs?
I tell you what, narco-terrorism is no different. One of the very first classes that opened up over in San Diego at the university, they were looking for someone teaching terrorism about what's happened over the Hamas and the Palestinians and Hezbollah and also out of Iran and so on. And I said, look, I can tell you from my experience working in Colombia or down in Mexico, it's a basic same thing, you know? And so written up, it's called narco-terrorism. It's probably, they use narco-terrorism because it's so much money that's involved that they finance when it comes to moving drugs across the border and torturing people and so on. And narco-terrorism is taking another human being and taking a family. For example, they lose the narcotics that they're going to bring across the border. Let's talk about Afghanistan. Same thing with narco-terrorism. Taliban, terrorism, narco. The country cannot survive, even though it's a beautiful country from what military has mentioned to me, but it's opium. It's the opium. The DEA is very active there, done some great jobs with American people. Taxpayers have put billions of dollars in the fight in the war on terrorism, narco-terrorism, and look what just happened. Now the market is completely wide open again for the opium trade of heroin. But that's what narco-terrorism is. You're going after a group of people like the Taliban or the Colombian cartel or the Mexican cartel. It's a war that we're fighting. But when they use that narco-terrorism, it's narcotics related to terrorism. And trust me, I've seen how they operate. It's no different of taking a terrorism for terrorizing a small child or terrorizing a woman or terrorizing you or Walter. But yet the terminology of narco is related to narcotics. And that's how the Taliban is surviving. Well, they were. Now they got so much that now they're, yeah, go ahead.
Now, I thought we were fighting a war on drugs.
There is no war on drugs. You're talking to a professional that spent almost 24 years. Majority of that was the streets. The streets was my life. I learned quickly on a first search warrant in California. When I walked into the house after we secured and I seen everything, you can call it black magic, the candles and so on. And I prayed in my heart and I realized, you know, there is no war. And when I was signed to Bogota, when I went down to Colombia, I went into the American embassy there, beautiful, you know, and it's a special operation room. And this individual from the agency was showing me photographs. We're talking over 20 something years ago. And he showed me photographs of all the labs making cocaine, and also they make their own heroin down there now, the white heroin, Colombian white heroin. And I thought to myself, and I asked him, I said, if we know where they're at, why can't we destroy this? We can do this, but the problem is, and it's the truth, the government of our country, we always focus on countries like Mexico, Colombia as being corrupted. I've learned quickly down in Colombia that we have so much corruption in the United States across that border. And I wrote about it in those books, explain the reason why there can never be a war on drugs, because there are certain people in our government. We're not talking about administration now. We're talking about other administrations, people that run in our country, and realize that there is no war. I was so naive as a young person. And when I start seeing people getting killed, getting hurt for what? We can't stop this because they won't let us stop it. And now we have everybody that came into the country more or less from the south of the border, and now they're lawyers. They went to the best colleges in the United States of America. They have their degrees. Now they're lawyers, but they're very loyal to their families, which is south of the border. They're going to be very loyal to their family in Taliban. The people that are coming into our country is no different from the people coming from the south. Their loyalty is going to be to where they came from. That is their home. It's like, this is our home. Today or yesterday, I was in a place called Cadiz, and you know where it is. It's a beautiful place. And I seen an American flag there, Scoot. American flag. And I walked up to it, and I want to talk to the store owner. This is in Cadiz, man. I mean, you know, you've been here. And I wish your audience know, because it's beautiful. And we started talking. A lot of Spanish people are very, very disappointed, okay? Great people. You know that. You've been here. But they're very disappointed why we haven't done anything to this president that we have back home. You know the Spanish people. They're very outspoken. They see what's happening to their country. But they rely on United States of America. We are the freedom. That's who we are, the Constitution. And they're disappointed how the Americans sit back and let this guy steal the election, a group of people. And they keep, just like us, we keep hoping that this guy, yes, President Trump, I'll mention that with you right now. And they keep hoping for this guy to come back. And I just don't think it's going to happen. I really don't. But can you imagine that? I wish your audience can understand that when you go into a city like Cadiz and you see American flag from a store owner, but yet he's talking really bad about this president that we have back home.
Right, the Spanish knows. Walt, you got any questions for our guest yet?
You know, guys, I'm still amazed at the information that Larry's offering over here. Because you don't hear none of this stuff that he's talking about, you know, anywhere else. I mean, I haven't heard of it. You know, it's not on C-SPAN, it's not on Fox, it's not on any of the other stations. And it's freaking awful. You know, it's, you know, all about this GD vaccine and this nonsense and crap.
Right.
And it's all a smokescreen.
And I realize it's a smokescreen.
Right.
But there's 80 million people, allegedly, that voted last November for this character that doesn't know what a smokescreen is.
Awesome.
And it's not just in our country. Apparently, it's over there in Spain, Germany, you name it. That it's all a smokescreen for these idiots that are in charge here.
Absolutely, Walter. Walter, listen, I agree with you. You know, Mark Milley, we all know this guy. He came on the base over here. Came on the base, shaking hands. It's all so politics, it makes me sick. Because Americans are losing their lives. Look what happened, Walter.
All right, Larry, we're coming on the last break. Just stay tuned. We're going to have you say your piece. Stay tuned, everybody.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The Foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things, and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yuku. I mean, Walter Yurkow. I mean, Walter Kiwi. Here's Walton Scoop.
You know, we have one of the best intro songs ever. Starship Trooper by Yes, off the Yes album, which is 50 years old this year. And we got a horrible voiceover from one James Edwards. But anyways, he is Larry Ray Harden. Check him out, LarryRayHarden.com. We are at 75radio.org, the number 75radio.org. I'm still at the Backyard Grill in Chantilly, Virginia for the Refugee Roundup. We have to, don't forget, the new acronym is not MAGA, but MARA. Make Afghan refugees accounted for. Anyways, Larry, we're at our last break, last segment. What do you have to add for us? You talk about narco-terrorism, talked about the refugees in Spain. Can the war on drugs be won?
Yes, a war can be won on drugs because we are the greatest country, but we need to take politics out of it. You know, when you talk about war on drugs, I experienced with Senator McConnell. I wrote about him in the book. When he came down to Colombia, how they were negotiating, we're talking millions of dollars on the so-called war on drugs. And there was no war on drugs, you know. But there's so much that we can talk about. But I just want to tell you up front, you invited me to this show, you and Walter. I know I gave you a lot of information, which I just want to talk about it because it bottles me up just like most Americans back home. You know, I mean, even our military people, Scoop, all this is built up inside of us. We're sitting back and letting this thing happen. Same with narcotics, fentanyl. I mean, you know, this stuff is killing people.
Larry, real quick, you brought up a point, the military. What's the feeling of the sailors, the Marines that are on base in Rota? What's the feeling about having these African refugees come on base, take over the base, and they can't say boo about it? What are they saying to you?
Nothing. Nobody talks. If I even mention that to one of the Marines, you got to understand the base here. Marines are sort of separated because they have a mission. Right. They have to stay focused what they're doing. But what's happened to our military today, especially the people coming in, you know, and the training they're getting, this woke training, or what do you want to call it? They're working on our young people today in the military. But I just can't ask a question like, wow, look at all these refugees. I mean, I know how to do that, you know, just talking. But I just cannot do that because I don't know who the person I'm talking to anymore on base here. Because, you know, like I said, you don't know more or less who they are. But I just don't want to be jeopardized, like asking questions, especially a narcotic agent, DEA agent, asking the questions why they're here and so on. Next thing I knew, I'm being kicked off the base. And I don't want that to happen. I just don't want that to happen. Yeah.
Right. Wow. All right. Well, once again, do you have anything for a guest? I know I've been an air hog, and Larry's been talking away.
No, it's all good, my friend. It's all good, my friend.
I hope
so. You know, it's just unfortunate that, you know, the entire world seems to have just, you know, stopped and took 50 years backwards when everybody is afraid of anything that they say, do, look at, stare at, have a picture of. You know, it's like the, you know, McCarthyism. And they were looking for all the commies back in the 40s and the 50s. And now it's the other way around. Now they're looking for Americans that believe in America.
Yeah,
and looking to screw, and looking to screw us.
Amen. Amen, Walt. That's right on. Amen. Yeah. And that's how what I'm experiencing in my life. I'm just so disappointed because I know you and Scoop and your audience, we're out there, but what is going to, why is it taking so long? I mean, are we that controlled? Are we, as they say, sheep? You know, in Spain, you know, I hope you guys know the difference, but sheep in Spain, they're all over the place, okay? Because that's just the socialism that's been going on. We are not that way. We are not sheep. Maybe the Democrat Party, the people that are running the politics, you know, they're trying to force everything down on us. We got a war that's going on, and we can win it. Afghanistan, we could have won this thing a long time ago. But look at all the, Walter, look at all these young men, women. They have no legs, no arms. Look what's going on back home. They fought for a war that they, you know, our politicians told us that we have to win because what they did on September 11th, what we did, we went in, and we took care of that. That all the ones we were dragging to this long term, 20 years, okay? There was so much money been made by these contractors with off the blood of our young men and women, okay, that fought, that believe. That's who we are, the average Americans. We believe in following the word of God. I hope we do, because God is the answer. You know, whether you like it or not, I mean, everybody points it to me, just like the vaccine. They're forcing this down our throats. Well, the people in Spain are the same way, guys. They want the United States to do something because we are. And when you mentioned about the Spanish king, he is for United States. They are for United States. Spanish king has nothing to do with this, guys. is the guy that's running over this Sanchez over here, Pedro Sanchez. He was stole the election. Actually, he was never voted in. Scoop, you know that, don't you? Spanish people will tell you that. He was never voted in, okay? And he controls his country, okay? He controls it with money, welfare. Do we understand where we're going with this, guys? Welfare, food stamps. That's what they're doing to back home in the United States. They're giving this money out like it's candy to keep these people loyal to the guys that run our country. Well, that's going to end. You guys know that. And someday when that ends, and that person that was getting all these welfare and food stamps and free medical, then their stomach's going to get hungry. Then they're going to turn against us, okay, with inside. I'd sure like you guys in person someday. I really wouldn't drink cold beer. Yeah.
I just got one thing to say about the vaccine. Number one, I'm not getting it. Number two, this mask mandate that they're trying to push upon people. I went to the doctor's office the other day for a checkup, and last time I was there, nobody was wearing masks. This time I was there, everybody's wearing masks. I walk in without a mask. You know, Scoop knows me. I walked in without a mask, and I checked in. I sat down. I'm filling out a little paperwork, and the nurse, the receptionist says to me, she says, "You have to have a mask. Do you have one?" I says, "No, I don't have one. Do I really have to have one?" And she says, "Yeah." She hands it to me, and I put it in my pocket. Now I got one, I told her.
Well, you know what? Hey, Walt, you know what convinced me? When I went to the Veteran Hospital in La Jolla, California, okay? I mean, it's beautiful, incredible what they're doing. When I went there, I took a friend of mine there to make sure he didn't pass out because he had to take it because of his job. Me, I was thinking about it, the Johnson & Johnson, about a year and a half ago because they were giving it to the homeless people. Listen to this, guys. They were giving it to the homeless, veteran homeless, because they're unstable. So they want to give them that one shot. And I thought about taking it. When I asked the guy that was monitoring everybody there, and he's been doing this for years, I said, "Did you take the shot?" He looked at me and said, "No, I'm not going to take it." I went, "Why?" He said, "Because it's an experimental drug. This is a year and a half ago." And then I talked to a lieutenant commander in the Navy, a doctor. She said the same thing, Walter. So now, today, I'm not going to take it. I don't know. Hey, I got to go back home to my country, okay, when I finish here. So now they're saying, "You're not going to be able to come back home until you have the shot." Well, you know what? You guys probably hear me all over the news trying to swim across the Atlantic. With no, seriously, because I am not going. I'm not taking a shot because I see the people here that took the shot. And, man, they are weird. I thought I was a strange bird. But I'm telling you, these people, I really believe there's long-term effects on this stuff. Can't help it. I just think so. And now I got somebody, the President of the United States, is all over the news. He's forcing it. Oh, my. Where's our Constitution, Walter? Scoop. You know, it's going to be the Second Amendment. Now they're going to go after they're going to go after our weapons, man. Just like in Europe.
Right.
There's no weapons over here. Scoop, you know that. They took them away from everybody. Yeah.
Yep. Anyways.
I'm not driving into the local high school parking lot around by the track and have some idiot wearing a mask and a head covering and a body covering stick something in my arm. You know, it's just not going to happen. I don't know who the hell is behind that mask. I don't know who the hell they're hiding from. And if you ask them what's in it, they don't know. They're just
That's
doing
right.
what they're told. You know, more
That's
people,
right.
you know, they're
That's
just
right.
doing what they're told.
That's right. Well, you're not a sheep, Walter. You know, you're not. I'm not either. And Scoop, I know Scoop, but I talked to him several times. You guys are not sheep. You guys are love our country. You love our country at the moment of someone will put something in your face or in your arms or try to hurt you or someone else. That's who we are. I mean, that's why I'm so blessed. You know, it was the cesspool that I got on. I met James, and now I'm with you guys, and I really enjoy this because you're giving me an opportunity. It's like me and a millions of other people out there believe in what I believe. If you guys seen what I was seeing over here, you will have the same – listen – I, believe it or not, I am under control. It don't sound like it, but I am. But I'm just really upset, you know, how they use the taxpayer dollars to waste the people. Listen, I've worked hard. I'm a blue-collar guy. I worked in the fields, man, the back of fields, cornfields, chasing hogs and pigs as a kid growing up, watched my daddy struggle with eight kids. We all been there, Walter and Scoop. But now we're seeing what the politicians are doing.
Anyway,
well,
Larry, it's a hell of a show.
On,
thanks for coming on.
We'll talk again, folks. Check him out, LarryRayHarden.com, LarryRayHarden.com. Use all three names. More Scoops Then and Larry Ray Harden and Walter Yerkes. This is a scoop again, reminding you that you can make a difference. Go out and make it. See you next week, everybody.
This is James Edwards for 7-5 Radio. For those who work the streets and the jails, thanks for keeping us safe. So long, everybody.
Mom,